and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Mike DeBusky. Possible government shutdown this week, and the Senate has come up with its own plan to extend government spending through November 17th. The House, however, is still at odds over funding for Ukraine.
Instead, McCarthy is moving forward with his own proposal, insisting President Biden and Democrats must crack down on the border to avoid a government shutdown. But that still doesn't appear to be enough to satisfy a handful of far-right conservatives opposed to any short-term deal.
ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill. Most of the Republican presidential candidates will be in Simi Valley, California tonight for the next GOP debate. Donald Trump will not be there. He'll be rallying with auto workers in Detroit. On Tuesday, a New York judge ruled in the civil case against the former president and the Trump Organization, saying there was overwhelming evidence that the Trumps repeatedly committed fraud by vastly inflating the value of their assets. This is ABC News. Looters racing through stores in Philadelphia, and now police are searching for suspects.
Philadelphia police searching for more suspects after they say more than 100 juveniles stormed into retail stores across the city late Tuesday, looting stores including Foot Locker, Lululemon, and Apple.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. More than a dozen people arrested. Speaking last night, Police Commissioner John Stanford.
This had nothing to do with the protest. What we had tonight was a bunch of criminal opportunists take advantage of a situation and make an attempt to destroy our city.
Those protests after a judge in Philadelphia dismissed the charges against a former cop in the shooting death of Eddie Irizarry. The judge citing a lack of evidence despite surveillance video, Irizarry's aunt, Zoraida Garcia.
How can it be lack of evidence? The evidence is there in your face.
The former officer, Mark Dial, claimed Irizarry had a gun during a traffic stop. No gun was found, but a knife was in the car. Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin have proposed a package of bills to address the state's workforce shortage and address poverty. The bills would cover things like job and business development programs, skills enhancement programs, public transportation initiatives, and an emergency rental assistance program. The bills would also target homeless issues in the state by starting new programs for housing assistance and requesting a report to the legislature on the number of homeless children in the public school system. Labor leaders in Wisconsin say recent National Labor Relations Board changes will make it easier for residents to unionize, particularly in the service industry. According to a WPR report, companies caught using unfair labor practices under the new NLRB framework will be forced to negotiate with a union, and if a majority of workers express interest in joining a union, the employer is immediately required to bargain with the union or seek an election. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Tom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Lost more radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Morning, Marvin Gaye, 50 years ago, still haven't solved the problem, still working on it. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 64 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in Richland Center right now, and 62 degrees with cloudy skies in Eau Claire. The next story that I want to get to is a story about the environment and about ecology, and this is from the Washington Post with a headline that says Antarctica just hit a record low in sea ice by a lot. Sea ice extent around the Arctic was the sixth lowest on record as well. Okay, so those are the two poles of the Earth, the North Pole and the South Pole at the Antarctic. The record low in sea ice, and at the Arctic Pole, it was the sixth lowest on record. It says here that sea ice levels around Antarctica just registered a record low, and by a wide margin, as winter comes to a close there, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center. This significant milestone adds worry that Antarctic sea ice may be entering a state of decline brought on by climate change. Quote, there is some concern that this may be the beginning of a long-term trend of decline for Antarctic sea ice, since oceans are warming globally and warm water mixing in the southern ocean polar layer could continue, read the NSIDC announcement. NSIDC is the National Snow and Ice Data Center. That announcement released on Monday. Sea ice around the polar regions grows and melts with the seasons. In Antarctica, sea ice typically hits its minimum coverage at the end of the southern hemisphere's summer. Around February, it reaches its maximum extent at the end of winter, in mid to late September. This February, scientists reported Antarctic floating sea ice hit an all-time low at the end of the summer, and sea ice growth continued to remain slow through the winter. This year, Antarctica reached its annual maximum coverage on September 10th, about 13 days earlier than average. At that time, the annual ice coverage was at a record low of 6.55 million square miles, a whopping 398,000 square miles lower than the previous record low set back in 1986. 398,000 square miles lower than the previous record. Here's a quote. This is from an ice scientist named Twyla Moon. She says, "It is surprisingly low. We have this extreme low minimum, and there hasn't been any ability to recover towards previous higher extents during the Antarctic fall and Antarctic winter. We're starting to see this year-round influence." Sea ice around the polar regions plays a critical part in protecting the adjacent ice sheets. Less sea ice means less sunlight will be reflected back to space, causing waters to warm more and destabilize surrounding ice and glaciers. Coastlines are also much more exposed with less sea ice, removing a buffer that could help protect melting ice shelves or ice sheets. Scientists have long seen these downward sea ice declines and effects in the Arctic. In a separate announcement on Monday, the NSIDC stated that Arctic sea ice extent at the end of this summer was at its sixth lowest in nearly 45 years of satellite records, extending the worrying trend that the last 17 years have had the lowest Arctic summer sea ice extents on record. Declining trends in Antarctic sea ice have been more unclear. Scientists now think the continent is hitting a turning point, much like the Arctic has. In just 7 years, Antarctica has experienced three new record-breaking low sea ice summers. A study published on September 13th said these records indicate that the underlying processes controlling Antarctic sea ice coverage may have altered. Now, and this is that ice scientist talking again, now we're also seeing this sea ice loss as ice that forms on the surface of the ocean appears to be influenced by warming ocean temperatures and perhaps other processes as well. We might be looking at a very different system now that is affecting Antarctic sea ice in all seasons. Antarctica has been showing responses to climate change in other ways as well, said the ice scientist. Antarctica and the Arctic are warming faster than the global average. Warmer ocean temperatures around the continent have caused major ice melt around the ice sheet, including destabilizing what's known as the Thwaites Glacier, which is about the size of Florida and contributes to 4% of annual global sea level rise. Moon, the ice scientist, said changes in how the ocean moves as well as the atmosphere have also become more apparent. Quote, "It's not great news," said Gail Whiteman, an expert on global risks resulting from polar climate change. And she's also a professor of sustainability at the University of Exeter. She said polar ice is one of the world's biggest insurance policies against runaway climate change. And we can see in both the North and South sea ice that we've got problems and alarm bells are ringing. That's a piece from the Washington Post about what's going on in the at the poles, North Pole, South Pole, Arctic, Antarctic, and it's not looking real good right now. And as far as the environment, climate change, it's not all bad news. It's mostly bad news, but there's a little bit of good news. There is a story in The Guardian right now that says staggering green growth gives hope for 1.5 Celsius, says global energy chief. And what they're talking about here is that we, the people of Earth, are putting up so much new sources of energy, new sources of energy, like solar power and the electric vehicles. Well, we are going at a rate now, which is in line with net zero goal, but rich countries must hasten their broader plans, is what it says here in the subheadline. I'll give you a little bit of this before we head to our next break. It says the prospects of the world staying within the 1.5 Celsius limit on global heating have brightened owing to the staggering growth of renewable energy and green investment in the past 2 years. So just in 2 years, a noticeable difference. That's according to the chief of the world's energy watchdog, Faith Birol, the executive director of the International Energy Agency and the world's foremost energy economist, said much more needed to be done, but that the rapid uptake of solar power and electric vehicles were encouraging. Quote, despite the scale of the challenges, I feel more optimistic than I felt 2 years ago. Solar photovoltaic installations and electric vehicle sales are perfectly in line with what we said they should be, to be on track to reach net zero by 2050, and thus stay within the 1.5 Celsius limit. Clean energy investments in the last 2 years have been a staggering 40% increase. But Birol also noted that greenhouse gas emissions from the energy sector were still stubbornly high, and that the extreme weather seen around the world this year had shown the climate was already changing at frightening speed. And in a report entitled Net Zero Roadmap, published yesterday morning, the IEA also called on developed countries with 2050 net zero targets, including the United Kingdom, to bring them forward by several years. The report found almost all countries must move forward their targeted net zero dates, for which most developed countries, it's 2050. Some developed countries have earlier dates, such as Germany with 2045, Austria and Iceland with 2040, and for more developing countries, they're much later, 2060 in the case of China, and 2070 for India. So it's not all bad news, it's just mostly bad news. But some of the things we're doing are making a difference. More solar power, more wind energy, and more electric vehicles are making a difference. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and
more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some,
that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 68. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 56. Tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, 69. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I look at all the lonely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding is being. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Yeah, look at all the lonely people. Man, that's a great song by the Beatles. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock at 61 degrees with cloudy skies in Amory and in Hayward right now. And speaking of lonely people, do you think that the United States is in a mental health crisis? Well, evidently, a lot of people do. There is a new poll that says 87% of Californians say that the United States is in a mental health crisis. But how do they feel about themselves? That's the headline from the Mercury News at mercurynews.com. This piece was posted just this morning. It says nearly 9 out of 10 Californians say America is in the midst of a mental health crisis, according to a sprawling new statewide survey of Golden State residents who also express lingering concerns over inflation, homelessness, and housing. The overwhelming consensus on the poor state of America's mental health, which fully 87% of Californians labeled a crisis, crossed all political and demographic groups in the poll released yesterday, Tuesday night, by the Public Policy Institute of California. Yet, Perhaps counterintuitively, 81% of those surveyed said they would rate their own mental health as excellent. 18% said it was very good. 31% said good, and only 4% described their own mental health as poor. Let me give you those numbers again. I think I messed that up. It says, perhaps counterintuitively, 81% of those surveyed said they would rate their own mental health as excellent. 18% said excellent. Yeah, this is kind of difficult to understand. Very good, 31%, good, 32%. So was it 81% said their health is excellent? Yeah, I guess so. Only 4% described their own mental health as poor. Yet when asked about other people, they said about 90% said there was a crisis going on. Also, nearly 4 out of 10 said the COVID-19 pandemic had a negative impact on their mental health. And here's a quote from the statewide survey director. Public Policy Institute said, I think that people are reading and hearing a lot about what is going on in terms of drug abuse, mental health, and homelessness. And in a rare show of unity, the poll found that huge majorities of Democrats, 91%, Independents, 90%, and Republicans, 85%, all believe the United States is experiencing a mental health crisis. And it's the same among racial and ethnic groups, with voters who identified as Black at 93%, White, 88%, Latino, 86%, Asian Americans, 83%, all agreeing. The survey comes just as the state next month, California, begins rolling out one of Governor Gavin Newsom's key initiatives known as CARE Court, C-A-R-E, CARE Court, which allows a court to require treatment for people suffering from severe mental illness. And next spring, voters will be asked to approve a nearly $6.4 billion bond measure that would add thousands of beds for psychiatric and residential treatment facilities. And the Public Policy Institute results mirrored the opinions of voters across the country in a CNN Kaiser Family Foundation poll in October of last year, in which 90% considered the U.S. in a mental health crisis. With such a broad question, though, Paul Maslin, a Democratic pollster in California, isn't fazed by the consensus. He said, newsflash, America is screwed up. Is that a surprise? If you just sort of spring something on people and say, is America in a mental health crisis? There are so many things going on. Does it mean the general insanity in our news all the time? Does it mean homelessness? These are insane times. So if you say, is America suffering from a mental health crisis? Yeah, we are. Although concerns over mental health and homelessness are high, nickel and dime financial matters still topped the survey's list of issues of concern, with more than 28% of those surveyed naming jobs, the economy, and inflation as the number one issue facing the state of California. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and chests, still a man hears.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Possible government shutdown this week, and the Senate has come up with its own plan to extend government spending through November 17th. The House, however, is still at odds over funding for Ukraine.
Instead, McCarthy is moving forward with his own proposal, insisting President Biden and Democrats must crack down on the border to avoid a government shutdown. But that still doesn't appear to be enough to satisfy a handful of far-right conservatives opposed to any short-term deal.
ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill. Most of the Republican presidential candidates will be in Simi Valley, California tonight for the next GOP debate. Donald Trump will not be there. He'll be rallying with auto workers in Detroit. On Tuesday, a New York judge ruled in the civil case against the former president and the Trump Organization, saying there was overwhelming evidence that the Trumps repeatedly committed fraud by vastly inflating the value of their assets. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A study conducted by Addiction Treatment Magazine found Wisconsin had the seventh highest percentage of underage drinkers in the country. The study found that nearly 20% of Wisconsin residents between 12 and 20 years old had used alcohol within the previous month, about 125,000 people. The study also found 10.6 had binged alcohol in the past month. The other states in the top seven include Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Iowa. The National Park Service's annual report on economic effects of visitor spending found nearly 672,000 people visited national parks in Wisconsin last year, spending around $66 million. According to a WPR report, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway was responsible for a large uptick in national park visits, seeing just over 100,000 more people last year. Between Wisconsin and Minnesota, people spent about $41 million supporting the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472, then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. The heroes often fail, and you won't that book again, because the ending's just too hard to take.
walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way street. Enter number two, a movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, the story's always in. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feelings that you lack. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:36 right now. And we've got 64 degrees in La Crosse right now with cloudy skies. In Richland Center, it's also 64 degrees with rain. And I have an update for you on the government shutdown. Yeah, it doesn't look good. You know, the problem that we are facing is the fact that the extremist Republicans, the MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives, are saying they don't want to agree to any kind of a deal because they want big cuts in spending. They want massive cuts in spending. And they say that the government, the United States, is just spending way too much money. Well, here's the big irony. If there's a government shutdown, everybody is going to lose money. It's going to be bad for everybody. The United States in general is going to be losing billions of dollars every day. And I'm kind of losing my voice right now, so I'm going to ask my producer to have a song ready in case I can't continue. I'm suffering with a little bit of a cold and an allergy thing going on right now. How about this? Well, it sounds like it might be coming back, but maybe not. Hey, Sam, you want to play a song? Well, I get some hot tea or something so I can continue. We'll get back to the government shutdown in just a minute.
Thank you.
place. He opens the door, he's got that look on his face, and he asks you where you've been. You tell him who you've seen, and you talk about anything. He's got this dream about buying some land. He's gonna give up the booze and the one night stand.
Give it another try. Hey, we got 9:42. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It does sound like I have my voice back, at least for now. So let's get back to the stories of the day, the headlines of the day. And as I was mentioning before I lost my voice, it does look like the government is heading towards a shutdown. I have a story here from the Associated Press, apnews.com. Says Congress says it wants to avoid a shutdown, but the House and Senate are moving even further apart. This piece was just posted earlier this morning by Lisa Mascaro and Stephen Groves from the Associated Press. It says the Congress is starkly divided over very different paths to preventing a federal shutdown. The Senate is charging ahead with a bipartisan package to temporarily fund the government, but the House of Representatives is slogging through a long-shot effort with no real chance of finishing by Saturday's deadline. With days remaining before a federal closure, the stakes are rising with no resolution at hand. A shutdown would furlough millions of federal employees, leave the military without pay, disrupt air travel, and cut off vital safety net services. And it would be politically punishing to lawmakers whose job it is to fund government. President Biden, who earlier this year reached a budget deal with Speaker Kevin McCarthy that became law, believes it's up to the House of Representatives to deliver. And the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, for the White House, said a deal is a deal. This is for them to fix. Late Tuesday, yesterday, the Senate pushed ahead in sweeping bipartisan fashion to break the stalemate, advancing a temporary measure called a continuing resolution, or a CR, to keep government running through November 17th. It would maintain funding at current levels with a $6 billion boost for Ukraine and $6 billion for U.S. disaster relief, among other provisions. And it's on track for Senate approval later this week, but faces long odds in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader, pushed a hard right flank that rejects the deal he made with Joe Biden and is demanding steep spending cuts. He showed no interest in the Senate's bipartisan effort or the additional money for Ukraine. He said, quote, "I think their priorities are bad." Instead, Kevin McCarthy is reviving plans for the House Republicans' own stopgap funding measure that would slash federal spending by 8%. for many agencies and attach a hardline border security measure that conservatives are demanding. He's planning a vote on Friday, but Biden, Democrats, and even some Republicans have said the package is too extreme. Even some Republicans have said that. Kevin McCarthy is trying to goad Biden into negotiations over the border package, highlighting the record number of migrants crossing the southern border with Mexico. But the speaker has little leverage at this point, and the White House has downplayed the prospect of talks. But first, Kevin McCarthy is expected to spend much of this week trying to pass some of the bills needed to fund government agencies, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, Agriculture, and State and Foreign Operations. It's a daunting task ahead. The House Republicans advanced those bills late Tuesday, yesterday, after days of setbacks and disarray. But it is not at all clear McCarthy has the votes from his hard right flank to actually pass the four bills this week. So there's an update for you as to what's going on with the possibility of a government shutdown, and it's not looking good right now. 9:47, going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 68. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. Overcast tomorrow. Highs around 69. Warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Do you understand me now? If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Jason Daniels Show, 9:51 right now, and we have just a few more minutes. Hopefully my voice will hold up for the remaining time that we have. Misunderstood, Sadella Marley, in a tribute, or from a tribute album to Nina Simone. Some great music there. And the next thing I want to get to in the time we have remaining is concerning that new book that came out yesterday by Cassidy Hutchinson. You remember her? Part of the Trump White House, and she has a new book called Enough. She was the young lady who testified last summer to the January 6th committee about what was going on in the White House during the day of January 6th. So I found in Yahoo News a story about five revelations in Cassidy Hutchinson's new book about her time in the Trump White House. The former aide's memoir called Enough hit the bookshelves yesterday. This piece from Yahoo News says Cassidy Hutchinson, who served as an aide to former President Donald Trump's White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, is out with a new book that paints a damning picture of the outgoing administration's chaotic final days. In her book called Enough, which became available to the public on Tuesday, Hutchinson, who testified last year during the House Select Committee's series of public hearings about the events surrounding the January 6, 2021 Capitol insurrection, offers new details about the behavior of top officials like Meadows, Trump's former lawyer Rudy Giuliani, and others in their orbit. So here are some revelations from the book. Hutchinson alleges that Rudy Giuliani groped her at Trump's January 6th rally. It says, at Trump's rally that preceded the Capitol riot, Hutchinson writes that Giuliani groped her. Giuliani, who spoke at the rally, flatly denied the allegation, HuffPost reported earlier this week. According to Cassidy Hutchinson, Giuliani approached her in a backstage tent like a wolf closing in on its prey. He complimented her leather jacket, which Hutchinson told him was faux leather, then wrapped his arm around her body. Quote, his hand slips under my blazer, then my skirt, Hutchinson recalls. I feel his frozen fingertips trail up my thigh. He tilts his chin up. The whites of his eyes looked jaundiced. She looked over at John Eastman, another Trump lawyer who spoke at the rally. Eastman, Hutchinson writes, flashed her a leering grin. Hutchinson writes that she recoiled and stormed away, filled with rage. Another thing we learned from the book, Meadows was burning so much paperwork that his wife said his suits smell like a bonfire. The Presidential Records Act requires White House staffers to preserve their documents and send them to the National Archives. But according to Cassidy Hutchinson, staffers in the Trump White House were burning their copies of the important papers that are supposed to go back to the National Archives. According to the book, Meadows was burning so much paperwork in his office fireplace during the final weeks of the Trump administration that Hutchinson was worried he would set off the West Wing smoke detectors. On December 19th of 2020, Hutchinson recalls that she even propped open the door to a patio to air out the office of smoke, despite the chill in the air. Hutchinson writes that Meadows' wife, Debbie, asked her and another staffer not to light the fireplace anymore. Quote, all of his suits smell like a bonfire, Debbie Meadows told them, according to Hutchinson, and I can't keep up with his dry cleaning, she said. Also, another revelation, Mark Meadows, drank 3.5 White Claw cans, not knowing that they contained alcohol. Hutchinson writes that Meadows, who, like Trump, did not drink alcohol, accidentally got tipsy while drinking multiple cans of White Claw in the White House. As Hutchinson tells it, Meadows apparently did not know that the popular hard seltzer beverage contained alcohol when he downed 3.5 cans of it at the White House on the Monday morning after the 2020 election. Quote, as a dedicated and faithful Southern Baptist, Mark had never drunk an alcoholic beverage in his life until mid-November of 2020, Hutchinson writes. She and another staffer kept a stash of White Claw in his fridge, and a thirsty Meadows unknowingly reached for them during a meeting with White House Budget Director Russ Vogt. Quote, I know you girls keep my fridge stocked with sparkling water, so I went and got one. I sat back down and took a sip and thought, wow, this is real good. I looked at it and saw it was blackberry and thought, the girls never got me this one before, Meadows later told Hutchinson, according to the book. He went on and said, I liked it a lot and drank it pretty quick and went and got another. Grapefruit, another new flavor. Then I got a third. One more thing that we found out from the book released yesterday, Meadows told Hutchinson his job was to keep Trump out of jail. In a June of 2020, a few months after Meadows became Trump's fourth chief of staff, Hutchinson recalls her boss acknowledging his low bar for success. He said, Cass, if I can get through this job and manage to keep Trump out of jail, I'll have done a good job, Meadows told Hutchinson per her memoir. That looks like we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you for sticking around. I hope you have a good day today. Do something nice for someone. And I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong.
Hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. Little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Jim Ryan.